We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Folks, week three is in the books. We will look ahead to week four and really kind of unpack everything that happened in the weekend that was in college football here on College Sports Now, the kind of A-plus content that you've come to expect from this fine program. We are loaded. We are loaded today. We have an ACC legend, Roddy Jones, former Georgia Tech tailback with us. His voice is sweet. On life support today.
Bro, like, stop
I don't know if my you voice get through is the fine. Program.
Absolutely. Okay, so for everybody listening, here's what my last week or so has looked like. So not yesterday, we're taping this on Monday. Not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, we have a kid's birthday party, obviously. Got a three-year-old, she turns three, so we have the birthday party. Then, games in the week, Thursday, Saturday. Sleep very little over the weekend due to travel. Not complaining, just providing context. Then, on Sunday, off of about 3.5 to 4 hours sleep, fly home for another kid's birthday party. Yes, I've got two kids. Yes, their birthdays are about a week apart. Back-to-back birthdays. This birthday was pretty intense. Dad had to get a little fired up. We had a little kids workout. It was fun. But Dad's voice came out of it not great. So today is a big talking day for me. On Monday, I've got an afternoon radio show, not going to go well. And then I'm going on bed rest until Thursday because the pipe's got to be back, bro.
Yeah.
Like, can't be limping into Thursday night.
Yeah. No, you're doing two football games a week now. And I'm just telling you, as somebody who understands, who can identify when a voice is about to cave in and give out.
I'm about to cave in, man.
I'm hearing good. It down the line from you. That's all I'm saying.
I'm good, man. I'm good.
So we got Roddy Jones with us. We've got Michael Serber, L_Serberino on Twitter. He is a bit of a rock star on social media. Serber, how was your weekend, buddy?
Saturdays. Saturdays are a bear.
Nerve-wracking.
Saturdays are a bear. It was nerve-wracking.
What it was?
It was nerve-wracking. But I will say, Roddy, before you start to talk trash, like, Clemson played so badly. Like,
damn right they did.
So badly.
Absolutely.
And Georgia Tech still couldn't win, even though Clemson played probably the worst.
Get his ass, sir.
Probably the worst game, Hartzell. What do you think since like the West Virginia Orange Bowl?
No,
70-33.
Absolutely not.
I have not
seen
Clemson
game. I've watched a Pitt game, an NC State game.
No. Because Clemson was able to score in those games. Like,
well, Clemson sucks on offense right now. Here's
they are really bad on offense. Like, I will say this: the play calling was better. Hand the freaking ball to Will Shipley, but. On that note,
if you hand the ball, Will Shipley, he drops the ball.
If you're inside the 1 yard line, line up under center and run a QB sneak with your 250 pound quarterback. Like,
that also should happen.
Yeah, like, why are we lining up in the shotgun to ice the game, to hand the ball off to a true freshman who had, Roddy, you might know better than I. Will Shipley probably had, 15 carries in his college career coming into that game? Maybe.
Coming into the game? No, I don't think he had 15.
Yeah, he had like 18 carries in the game. But coming into that game, like, he'd been given the ball a handful of times. Like, so in the moment when you're trying to ice the game, you line up in the shotgun with your 250-pound quarterback and hand it off to your 200-pound freshman running back.
With like, 12 carries coming into the game, had 21 in the game.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, the coaching decisions, like, I don't know if that's a Tony Elliott call. I don't know if that's Dabo, like, needing to step in and say, hey, no, I'm calling the eye package here, the goal line package. Like, we're running a QB sneak because literally all DJ has to do is take the ball
correct
and fall forward and the game is over. But instead,
you hand the ball to the freshman.
Yeah, I
and
mean,
they're lucky Georgia Tech didn't jump on that in the end zone.
Yeah, absolutely. If Georgia Tech opens, yep, exactly. For all intents and purposes, exactly. It's they got a shot at a 2-point conversion to tie the game, and then they've got all the momentum in the world. Like, you know, I think if Georgia, how much time did Georgia Tech have, Roddy, when they got the ball back? About 20 seconds.
No, it was a little more than that. It was like 40, like, I think. But they didn't have any timeouts.
Yeah,
and how they were able to get down inside the five, bro. Yeah, like, that's another thing.
If they have a minute, if they have a minute and a half with the ball there, like, who knows what happens momentum wise. That all that being said, Clemson has played 3 football games.
Yep.
They are 1 play away from being 1-2.
Yep.
And they've allowed 0 touchdowns. Their defense has allowed 0 touchdowns. Offense, so
not a good football team.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The offense has serious problems. It's like Jekyll and Hyde. Comparing the offense and defense.
So you're trying to take away from what my Jackets did, and while I will slander my Jackets all day, you doth not slander the Jackets, because if it wasn't for a dumbass coaching decision on the Jackets side, that game should have been won by Georgia Tech. You're on the 3-yard line with 1 play to win the game in Death Valley against Clemson, and not only do you run a shovel pass, which, by the way, it didn't work for Clemson earlier. I feel like shovel passes are not a thing that work anymore. To be honest with you. Plus, you're putting the entire game on a guy named Dylan Devaney, who has not caught a single pass all day, I don't think. Maybe he has. And if you're going to run a shovel pass, it is a play of deception. It is a play that you are counting on lack of discipline from a defense. You're doing it against a defense with a guy who's been playing linebacker for 3 presidential administrations, who, of course, makes the freaking play. Like, it's, oh, and by the way, the best player on your team is not on the field. Jahmyr Gibbs is sitting on the sideline. Completely stupid and dumb from Georgia Tech's coaching staff, which is honestly not what you don't not expect that now. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. A Georgia Tech defense completely fooled DJ. DJ's got, like, Clemson has some real, and some of that stuff is like tongue in cheek. I feel very strongly about the last play thing. Like, that was a dumb call with a dumb personnel grouping. At least not having Jahmyr Gibbs on the field. Because honestly, they have the speed option as part of that shovel pass. And Jordan Mason's running it. Jordan Mason, good back. Not who I want on a speed option. Run the speed option with the shovel. Make him think you're going to shovel. Pitch it to Jahmyr Gibbs, the best player. Literally, if you were to line up Georgia Tech's team and say, Clemson, you can take 50 guys from Georgia Tech's team, they would decline 49 and take Jahmyr Gibbs. They would. They'd be like, you know what? We will take – you can have all the rest. We don't really need them dudes. We'll take Jahmyr Gibbs. He's the one player that Clemson will look at and be like, all right, he probably belongs on our team, and he's not on the field. On the one play to win the game. Completely, completely stupid. That being said, Clemson has some real issues on the offensive side of football that are not fixed overnight. This is going to be a bad Clemson offense for a while.
I'm really glad that both you guys got that out of your systems. The good news with Georgia Tech and Clemson is, and we touched on this last week.
At least you know your coaches are good, sir.
Hey, guys, the rivalry, it's back.
It's back.
It's back.
It's back.
Yeah.
Because – Cerber, what did we put on that game last week? Do we put anything on it? Because you had Clemson 35-3. I said there's no way Clemson scoring 35 points, I think. I may not have said that. But I did say Georgia Tech would cover. Never in doubt. Never in doubt.
I don't think I put any stakes on that because I don't literally bet don't on college sports. I'm not a degenerate.
Yeah, I really tried to get you there.
One thought on the shovel pass. Roddy, weigh in here. I think ever since Pitt ran up and down the field with that gimmick shovel pass play that beat Clemson in Death Valley a few years back.
Yep.
It seems like everybody thinks they're going to get the Tigers on that.
That was
like,
5 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, but I see it. Like, we see it a lot. Like, and it's like they don't do it like Pitt did, where it's an installation that we're going to run. It's part of our game plan. They're like, in a moment, we're gonna try and get him because we've seen him get got by that before. And I almost feel like Collins is like, I've seen him get got by that shovel pass. Like, yeah, but James Skalski was 18 years old when that happened to him.
Right. Now he's 27.
And now he's 34 years old, and he's
basically,
you know,
a GA.
And he's the best college football player in the country. So, like, my thought was, like, they thought they were going to get Clemson right there with that call, and you're totally right. Like, Gibbs got me on the field, like, and the gimmicky stuff. What are you doing?
How many times? How many times do you see a shovel pass work now? Like, I just feel like. I've seen teams rep shovel passes in practice. I've seen teams execute them in games, and it looks kind of the same. It's too slow a developing play. A quarterback very rarely, if he's going to get the ball pitched to the outside, stutters like he does on a shovel pass. And then the tight end's always like creeping across, and if one lineman falls asleep and gets his ass blown up, like the entire timing of the play is thrown off. It just everything. And then you have to have a defense that's undisciplined. A linebacker that's completely asleep. So, and look, a Georgia Tech offensive lineman had an opportunity to make the block on James Skalski. The issue is the timing of it just isn't there because you don't run it enough in practice. Yep. It's just one of those plays that you run like twice over the course of a week against a scout team at like half speed. And the scout team linebacker's got his finger up his ass and he's just kind of floating along and the tackle easily seals him. But when a linebacker who's in a game sees a crease and is like, oh, this is dumb. He's not going to pitch that thing. He's basically standing there chopping in place in the backfield. It's a shovel pass. Like, come on, man. It's just so stupid on a fourth down play.
Guys, I love both of you very much. I mean, I consider you friends, and
it's one of the best games of the weekend,
you know,
Steven. Don't
brothers.
You try and move us along.
I mean, is it like the little push pass a better play call there, too? It's something you're running way more. It's a similar concept. You're trying to misdirect the defense, which is a similar vibe to what you have going on. Like, what are we doing?
Here's the thing, all right? When you are Georgia Tech in that situation, or any team that's up against a Clemson or Georgia or an Alabama, and you've got an opportunity, the thing you are looking for is your best player one-on-one against one of their best players. Whether it's a fade to the back of the end zone or something on the perimeter, find a way to get your best player on one of their players. And if you can't win that, then you don't deserve to win the game. You run anything on the interior, you are counting on multiple of your players who are not your best player against multiple of their players who are not your best player. So instead of your best player having to win one matchup that he may or may not be favored in, you're having to have six guys win a matchup that none of them are favored in to win the game. So I just think it's so ridiculous when that happens. Like when you look at what Northern Illinois did against Georgia Tech at the end of the game, they roll out, sprint their quarterback, roll out, and run a little pick play to the back of the end zone to get their best player one-on-one on a corner route to the back of the end zone. Do that. Don't try and pitch it to some dude who is going to catch 10 balls this season and count on your offensive line, which has been struggling all game, against their defensive line, which are mammoths, and their linebacker who's been there for 10 years and has seen everything in the book.
All right, this
and now let's talk about Justin Ross.
This is a perfect
let's
segue.
Let's talk about Justin Ross.
Roddy, we're not talking about Clemson anymore, okay? This is
no, we have to talk about Clemson.
You gave me the outlet.
Steven,
I'm segueing away from this game. I'm about to go bar none on my microphone and throw it on the table.
No. Okay, I know. But this is like this has national implications. This is very personal. This is very personal to us, but it has national implications. Clemson, after that Georgia game, based on the results in the ACC, Virginia Tech loses, Pitt loses. That was a top 25 team potentially on Clemson's schedule. NC State loses last week. That was a top 25 potentially on Clemson's schedule. You look at the rest of Clemson's schedule, and the only potential top 25 team that they have is, do you know?
Unless UConn shocks the world, who is it?
The Wake Forest Demon Deacons. That is the sole team. That is the sole team. Maybe they, and honestly, like Wake Forest is a good football team. Maybe they can beat them. Mm-hmm. But that is the only team left on Clemson's schedule that has the potential to be top 25 when they play. They're at NC State this week. Not going to happen. Maybe Boston College if they beat Missouri, but I don't think that happens. And Boston College has played me, you, and Jafu.
They need a
later in the season
for that to happen.
Right. at Pitt, like maybe Pitt, but a loss to Western Michigan at home, the way they lost that game, I doubt they climb back in the top 25. So you're looking at Wake Forest in the end of the season being the lone top 25 team that Clemson plays, which means you would have to blow out everybody. And I think as good as they looked against Georgia, at the end of the season, if you're up against all the other one-loss teams, they're going to look at Georgia Tech, a team that probably finishes with two or three wins, and say, you won by six? Nah, bro, you're on the outside looking in. Now we can move on, Steven. I'm sorry.
Does anybody want to ask me what I would like to talk about coming out of week three? I mean, I put together this gorgeous Google document. I share it with you guys. I put time, Steven, and energy
into
running through.
You want good content. We just gave you 15 minutes of excellent content.
Yeah, but it's about a – I'm not even going to say it.
It's a national implication game. This is a college football playoff team. Year in and year out, that is probably, unless things go haywire, on the outside looking in after week three.
Roddy,
I hope Clemson loses because I do not want to see them get their brains beat in the college football playoff.
The ACC plane has crashed into the mountain, okay? Yes. I mean, when Duke is saving the conference over the weekend, that's when you know you got problems, absolutely, man. Right now, you got Wake Forest and Boston College. Those are your lone unbeatens in the ACC. And guess what? I like Wake. I'm not going to make fun of Wake. I like Wake. But, I mean, let's be honest. ACC, trouble. Can we talk about Florida and Alabama, please?
Sure.
Please? Because you mentioned Georgia Tech's play calling down the stretch, final play of the game. You're down six. You got a chance to beat Clemson in Death Valley. Similarly, Florida had a two-point conversion to tie Alabama, and they decided to put on, speaking of Wake Forest, their best Demon Deacons impression with that little, hey, we're just going to hang out here and try to read the defense and then make a decision.
Yeah, what was that?
That was bad. That was bad.
I don't know if that was called or if Emory Jones just like freestyled and wanted to be perfect with it. Like, I don't know, because they don't ever, I don't think, like, I don't know Florida. I haven't watched every snap of Florida the last 5 years, but I don't think they ever do that. Like, what are we doing here? Listen, I almost thought they were going to pop pass it.
Bama was up 21-3 in the first quarter. This thing looked over, and Florida reeled them in. And if that game had played, if they played five quarters in Gainesville, I think we're talking about an Alabama team that picked up a loss. Hell, if they had played five more minutes, maybe we're talking about a Bama team that picked up a loss. But instead, Florida falls 2 points short, and I know nobody wants moral victories down there in Gainesville, but I was very impressed with what I saw from Florida, with what I saw from Emory Jones. Curiously, Anthony Richardson did not play in this game, even though he was caught on camera doing backflips.
It was a great backflip,
warm-ups.
Too. Yeah. Great backflip.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he looked like Simone Biles out there, and yet somehow he was not healthy enough to play. So, that was interesting. But listen, Bama escapes, they get the win, and you know, I don't know if there's anything you take from this if you're an SEC West team and you're trying to beat Bama, but you held them under 40, which is the first time that's happened in like 14 games. I thought Bryce Young looked human, and they still couldn't, like Florida still couldn't get it done, ultimately. So...
Well, I think if you are an SEC team, you are looking at this game and saying, all right, this is the second game in a row that Bryce Young has not looked sharp. He didn't look sharp against Mercer, didn't look sharp against Florida, particularly in that second half. Now, stat line looks great. 22 of 35, 233, and three tutties. But that doesn't tell the full story. I think you look at Alabama's Alabama's lack of consistent run game. I mean, when you talk about an Alabama team that rushes for under 100 yards, like when's the last time we saw that? Especially with the offensive line that's massive. You look on the other side at Florida's ability to run the football. And if I'm Ole Miss, I'm thinking, yo, we got a shot. We got a shot. Because defensively, they are playing better. Offensively, I mean, there may not be a better offense in the country than what Ole Miss is going to roll in with. And I thought that Alabama, after week one, I thought Alabama was going to be in that category. I think they are. I don't want to overreact and say they are not. But on the road, in a tough environment, Steven, you've been all over this with Hudson Card and Bryce Young. Like, going into those environments has been a little jarring, maybe not in the same way. Card was from beginning to end, and Bryce Young just kind of like when Florida started to storm back. It became... A scenario where it looked like the game was pretty big. And look, it was a super low possession game in the second half. I think each team got the ball three times. So it was super low possession in the second half. But Alabama was outgained significantly in this game. And if you're Ole Miss, you're thinking, yo, I feel good about what we got going on. whenever they play the Crimson Tide.
By the way, speaking of Ole Miss, we will have an Ole Miss alum, Stephen Godfrey. He's going to join the show in about 10 minutes from now. So we'll run through some college football stuff with him, maybe dip our toe in the coaching waters as well. There's still a vacancy.
Oh, that Ole Miss game's in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, Alabama, are they
gettable?
Ole Miss
off a bye, too.
You still have to pitch a perfect game. Florida didn't pitch a perfect game.
I don't think you do. I don't think you do. Yeah. I think last year you had to pitch a perfect game. Now a one-hitter is fine.
Okay.
A one-hitter is fine.
Maybe.
Is it hard to do? Absolutely. But, like, one-hitters happen a lot.
We'll see. Look, I think it's great. I mean, we didn't see it last year to the extent, obviously, that we are now. But it's I mean, you saw the whiteout Saturday night, right? Auburn, Penn State. Like, home environments are back. And so, you know, the whole home field advantage thing that was just removed, literally removed from college football last year. It is wreaking havoc with some really good teams. And I think it's great
three
to
weeks,
see.
I'm sorry. Through 3 weeks, is this an Alabama team that you see going undefeated through the regular season?
Yes.
Because, really?
Yes.
I don't think so, man.
Okay, so you
think so.
Ole Miss is going to get them? You think A&M's going to get them?
Look, I don't think Oklahoma's undefeated. I don't think Alabama's undefeated. Maybe Georgia because of their schedule. I think it's a vulnerable reaction. It's a vulnerable looking team, and maybe this is the worst game they play all year. Maybe it is, but they've got injury issues on defense that we've seen. They've got a young quarterback who's going to be up and down this season. So I'm not. You cannot tell me they're going to lose. Can't do that. I would say Ole Miss is probably the most likely, but I would not pick them to lose that game. But just like Ohio State, just like Oklahoma, just like if Clemson hadn't lost the first game, and I feel like this about Clemson now, these teams look like teams that have an L out there. Oregon, too. Like, they look like a team that is not going to go undefeated. And I can't pick the game that they lose, but I can say if you're going to give me 9-0 the rest of the way, or a loss, I'll take the loss.
See, I don't. I mean, this is me personally, Roddy, but I don't think you can have it both ways. You can't say Alabama's not going to go undefeated and then not give me the game that they lose. That's a
would
cop
you
out.
Think? No, I don't think it is because like Clemson's going to be favored the rest of the way. But did I think they were going to be playing a 6-point game against Georgia Tech? No, because you have to play well every week.
Rivalry
and this
game.
does not look like an Alabama team that is going to play at that level every week. You know why? Because they haven't done it the past two. So is that them getting it out of their system before they get into SEC play? Maybe it is. But right now, this looks like an Alabama team that's going to have big performances and low performances. And that's not what we've gotten from Alabama the past 3 or 4 seasons. It's a pretty consistently performing team. You may get one. You may get one where they don't play well, but you certainly don't get back-to-backs, and it doesn't really happen that often in the big games. Even in the SEC championship game last year against Florida, that was a game that played out kind of how we thought. Florida was going to score points, that Alabama defense was not infallible, and it looks like it's similar this year, and that Alabama offense was fantastic. But that was the consistency that we saw from them a year ago. I can't pick a game that Ohio State's going to lose, but I think they lose one. I can't pick a game that, because on an individual basis, if you say, are they going to beat Penn State? Yeah, probably. Are they going to beat Michigan? Yeah, probably. Are they going to beat whoever? Yeah, probably. But, like, we don't see Purdue's coming, you know? And this feels like a year where everybody's got a Purdue game, where they go in to West Lafayette and get waxed like Ohio State did a few years ago.
Hey, Roddy, where's Georgia's Purdue game?
I said not Georgia.
Oh, okay. So Georgia's the elite and everybody else has a Purdue game out there.
No. Okay, Georgia has a trash schedule.
Just wanted to make sure I got you there.
Georgia has a trash schedule. And honestly, if you want me to give you one, it's probably Kentucky.
Oh, now we're talking. Yes, come on. Let's go. I'm here for Georgia.
Or Auburn. They got to go to Auburn and look what Auburn just did.
Yeah, they lost.
So Georgia's – yes. Oh, my God. Yes, they lost. But Georgia's schedule is not as difficult as some of the others. They do have some good teams on that schedule. There's some sneaky good teams. And Florida, Kentucky, Auburn look like tough, and they get those three back-to-back. So anyway, I feel like I've derailed this thing multiple times.
You have. You derailed this show 20 minutes right off the jump wanting to talk about shovel passes inside the red zone. But that's okay. I still love you, buddy. You're still my guy.
What we're here for, bro.
Even though you sound like you're coming off a weekend bender with the guys, and now you realize, oh, shit, I've got to go to work.
We played
the
Paw Patrol theme song over and over and over.
Yeah. Have you watched that movie? I heard that movie's a banger on Paramount Plus. Yeah,
fell asleep for the first like half of it, but the second half goes hard.
Way to rally. Any takes from Penn State, Auburn, Cincinnati, Indiana? I mean, the Pac-12, it was a bloodbath out west late night. I'll be honest, did not stay up for these games. Wanted to, but just went too hard for Florida-Bama and just couldn't push on through. Any takeaways from week three before our guest joins the show?
All right, so everybody wants to put the ACC in a body bag, but the Pac-12's in there with it. Like, Wayne, oh man, what happened? I don't know. I didn't see the UCLA game.
He didn't want to hear it. I told him Fresno State was a good team. I told him it was going to be a problem.
You told me that too, and I was like, no, I'm on the bandwagon. Almost picked that game. Almost picked that game.
By the way, it was a winning week for Rostradamus, barely, but it was. We'll get to that a little bit later. What about Cincinnati, Indiana, man? That was a tale of two halves, a very impressive performance.
So something's wrong with Michael Penix. He's clearly not healthy, and I would say the same for De'Aaron King, who apparently is getting reevaluated. We're taping this on Monday. He's apparently getting reevaluated on that injury. He was limping around on Saturday against Michigan State. Michigan State, by the way, good football team. But the Cincinnati Indiana thing, like Indiana, I felt like the game completely changed on the targeting call.
Yeah.
So that was part of it. And by the way, targeting, golly, the targeting in the Penn State Auburn game. I know Herbie went off on it, so I'm not going to here. Everyone's going to take shots at targeting. We had one in our game on Thursday that was just ridiculous. Like, we got to stop it with the targeting, man. But I won't get on that high horse. I thought Indiana had full control of this game, and I was fully prepared to come in and say, look, here's what happens when you play a real schedule. Here's what happens when you play in a real conference. You go on the road, and it doesn't matter who it is, especially in these conferences that have big stadiums where people show out, like Bloomington, Indiana. Well, I guess it's probably not that big, but people showed out for that game. You go in, things start to go well, and the momentum starts to swing against you. But I was really impressed by the way that Cincinnati rebounded, Desmond Ridder in particular, because he was pretty lackluster in the first half. But now, like, I think Cincinnati beats Notre Dame in a couple weeks, to be honest with you. In South Bend, like, they've already kind of felt that. Notre Dame's defense, yes. Notre Dame as a whole, not really feeling them right now. So I was impressed by the way Cincinnati came back and won that game. Because when you're in a real conference, you have games like that where you have to do it. Had Cincinnati not been able to do it, it would have been like, blouses, don't talk to me again. I'll see you in basketball season. I hope you're good then. But they win that football game in an impressive way in the second half. And so I think I was impressed by Cincinnati's resilience. I really was.
Shout out to you, Roddy, even though it's not even October, for giving a shout out to basketball season, which, you know, as a member of the ACC Network, given how things have gone the last couple weeks, it's probably time to start looking towards basketball season, isn't it?
No, bro. We got them Thursday night gigs, so I'm gonna be all right. We're gonna be all right.
We'll talk about Thursday night lights here in a little bit because you got two games on the docket. I need to know where you're gonna be Thursday night. We will not talk about what Billy Napier did to me Thursday night last week because that was just wrong.
What did he do to you?
It was just wrong. I mean, I don't know what you're doing calling passing plays when in the final minute of a game. Just take a knee. No, it's not my fault. No, I know it's not my fault. I just don't know what Billy Napier.
Billy took the over.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, Billy, what are we doing, man? I mean, come on.
Slanging it is what he's doing.
You hate to see it. You really hate to see it. Really, but what are you doing in that spot anyway? I mean, why are you betting Thursday
it's
night
not
unders?
Your fault. Put it the is. Piece away.
It is my fault because I shouldn't have been there in the first place. Let's take a break. We'll check in with Stephen Godfrey from Split Zone Duo coming up after this.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, let's check in with our man Stephen Godfrey from Split Zone Duo, among other things. Athlon Sports. Are you writing for Washington Post, Godfrey? What are we doing these days?
Yeah, you know, I have three kids. I just decided not to sleep this year. It's been
nice.
Great.
Okay, good. Well, we got a lot to unpack from week three. I'll tee it up here, though. Overachievers, underachievers for you, first 3 weeks of the season. Who you got?
Oh, man. You know, what's funny is I just finished writing a column about the ACC, how essentially it's like you're Clemson or you're Dave Clawson and maybe Jeff Hafley or everything is terrible. So can we even call the ACC underachievers anymore? I mean, we're just so used to this like gooey middle where guys are on $4 million annual contracts and they're just never getting above 7 or 8 wins. I mean, can I just say the entire middle of that conference?
I mean, Roddy, are you okay with that?
I mean, look, I've spent the better part of the last 2 years really staunchly defending the ACC, and like gooey middle seems like a pretty accurate description of what was going on.
Roddy,
it's all gooey.
I'm the least pro SEC graduate in the world, and would love for nothing better than to have like salient examples of why there could be good football in other conferences in terms of those like upper middle tier programs, but to have both Florida programs in this conference as woeful, consistently woeful as they are, just watching that Michigan State Miami game, it's weird because I think Manny Diaz has actually like jumped Mike Norvell in terms of trash fire rankings, and then is actually probably on a hotter seat than Justin Fuente, who arguably had the hottest seat in the league entering the season. We're only 3 weeks in. It's just a mess. Those three schools, Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech, should be cornerstones of this conference and have not been for so long that I am now trying to like teach my Gen Z co-hosts and my Gen Z coworkers, like, no, I promise you, Virginia Tech used to be important and cool, and they just look at me like I'm an idiot.
Yeah, like I said, like there's no defending what's going on, and like the fact that you're explaining that, you're about to have to start explaining it about Florida State too, and they won a national championship like 8 years ago. So
I know, and yeah, everyone thinks I'm jumping the gun there, but the infrastructure there is probably the most alarming because they are expected to be a national title power, whereas like Virginia Tech slash maybe like a Louisville. I will say this: let's just turn it positive for a second. If I were to invent an advanced stat real fast, there would like if we were to somehow look at the coaching market as wins above replacement, I think the amount of interested parties in Louisville and Virginia Tech would guarantee a better program for each, and then therefore a better ACC in 2 years if you made a job change at both of those places right now. People want those jobs.
Yeah. That's interesting. All right, so we've misery loves company, Steven. So what do you make of the Pac-12, and particularly the last weekend for the Pac-12? Maybe the Pac-12 as a whole. Just your thoughts on the Pac-12, so that I can feel a little bit better that we're not alone. The ACC is not alone down there.
Very quietly, no one noticed, but Washington actually like put together four quarters of a football game and performed admirably. The problem is they still lost to Montana 2 weeks ago. So good job, Jimmy Lake. You spent two off seasons telling everyone you were going to be a national power, and then you lost to Montana to open your era. They're going to be decent down the stretch, but I don't think the stain comes off of them this year. Stanford got blanked by K-State in week one. They look pretty decent as well. USC is going to be fine. Obviously, they're going to make a major change, so that's going to change the entire complexion of that conference. I'm grasping at straws for positivity here, if you couldn't tell. Arizona State losing to BYU kind of takes them out of the national conversation. Like, it's just, there's not much you can say other than the fact that I thought Oregon on their lines looked like a legitimate contender in a way in which I've never seen from Oregon. The Chip Kelly era is over there. The most positive thing I can say is that what Cristobal has done is proven that you can recruit and develop an SEC or Ohio State level caliber program in terms of like not running, I don't want to say a gimmick offense, but just playing big boy football. I hate that term, all the way out west. And you're not USC. So that's about as positive as I can get.
Hey, Godfrey, before you came on, Roddy said without saying this that he thinks Ole Miss is going to beat Alabama in a couple of weeks. As an Ole Miss alum, I mean, how emotionally invested are you in what Lane Kiffin and them boys have got going down in Oxford this year?
You okay, Roddy?
That's not exactly what I said, Stephen. I said Alabama would lose a game, and Ole Miss probably has the best shot. Did not say they would let Ole Miss would beat them.
They have the best shot, like the way that like a truck filled with explosives has the best shot of like blowing up a building.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it's tactical or it's going to be successful. That's the best Ole Miss can manage. One of the best offenses in college football, one of the worst defenses. My question to you is, Roddy, did you base that out of, do you think there's been significant defensive improvement?
From Ole Miss? No, I think Alabama is an inconsistent team this year. Well, we've seen one good performance. We saw them against Mercer where they were sloppy, and then we saw them against Florida where it was basically a tale of two halves. So it's not as consistent an Alabama team. And Ole Miss is going to score, so they've got as good a shot as anybody. And the other part of that was, because of that inconsistency, I think Alabama loses one. I don't know when it happens, but I think they lose one this year.
My only issue is I don't see them solving Bryce Young in any way. I think Florida's defense was better than I wanted it to be, just because I love to make fun of Todd Grantham, because, I mean, it's easy. That's about as simplistic a major Power 5 defense as you can find right now, and yet they did do a good job. I mean, what we saw Florida do basically doesn't happen. To be up 21-3, I believe, and then to both slow it down on defense – force consecutive three and outs, and then also find your rhythm on offense. And they didn't really explode. They just started gaining like 6 and 7 and 6 and 7, 6 and 7. Like that's just not how teams have ever come back or even shocked Alabama in the Nick Saban era. So it was very, very impressive. I think Ole Miss will provide an entertaining game before both teams hit the over with ease. That would be my prediction.
In the East, Godfrey, given what you saw from Florida, is there any chance that they can give Georgia a game in Jacksonville? Because the Bulldogs' schedule is, I mean, it's non-existent. I mean, it's a cakewalk between now and Atlanta in December.
Yeah, because it's so light, I think there's a possibility there, because you can't acclimate to a quality team if you don't have it. This has been a knock on Clemson for years. I think Clemson got over that, by the way. This was always like a real snide SEC thing to say to Clemson until Clemson started bringing the wood to the SEC specifically in the postseason. Kind of a small version of that for Georgia going into Florida, because that I tell you what, I'm going to be in the press box just because it's like around the corner from my house this weekend at Vanderbilt. I just want to see Georgia. I just want to see them. That's all. And I'm lazy and I have three kids, so I don't want to travel. I would like to see that defensive front. I would like to see that offense specifically, especially against Vanderbilt's defense, where what you're allowed is basically a controlled scrimmage against a conference opponent, which is pretty rare in the SEC. So are you going to start stretching things out and getting a little experimental? Or are they just going to be as vanilla as possible? Because here's my thing. We started this season with the conversation that Georgia's offense had to evolve beyond this like bully ball pre Lane Kiffin era at Alabama. Like that's how we sort of define, like when Kirby was at his best at Alabama, they were still kind of running a more conservative offense. And that's basically what they've done at Georgia. If you're going to evolve and be innovative and let those guys on offense actually kind of stretch their wings a little bit, you got to start doing it. So that's what I'm looking for this weekend. I mean, the front seven on defense, they're going to be fine. There's nothing that's really going to challenge them for the next couple of weeks. They might put up two or three more shutouts before Florida.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't bet against that, certainly.
Like, if Vanderbilt scores, something is terribly wrong.
Yeah, or Kirby's just like, look, Clark, you know, it's your first year. Let me give you something to build on, and that's a field goal.
Or they're playing the fours or something. Like, right, I don't know how many they can dress for travel off the top of my head.
Friends and family. Yeah, the worst part of that is that it's on the road. If it was at home, then I think Vanderbilt would get one in the end zone because the scout team would be playing.
Hang on, Roddy. You know that place is going to be 75 or 80% red and black Saturday.
No. I'm saying on the road, because you can only travel like 70 guys.
Yeah. Oh,
if this were at home, they'd have 130 guys on the sideline, and every single one of them would touch the field.
Yeah, you're pure straight up walk-ons that are just like warm bodies for the scout team. They get to dress on home games, but they usually don't travel.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, capacity restrictions on the planes and such. Stephen, is Penn State legit? How much are we reading into that win against Auburn?
Penn State is legit in terms of the Big Ten, and that's all they have to worry about for the time being. I think, they're also legit in terms of, hey, was 2020 an aberration? Which is a question we've been asking both positively and negatively for a lot of teams this year, like Arkansas and Colorado or Indiana, teams that had unique 2020s. we've like, you know, I believe that 2020 was an aberration because of all the outside just weirdness that affected the sport. So going into 2021, Penn State, I mean, James Franklin just straight up threw Soroka under the bus. Goes out, hires Juracek, figures out, hey, you know what, we're going to bet it all on another new offense. I wouldn't say they've exploded by any stretch, but they won the game that they had to win at Camp Randall in an ugly way. And they sort of, I mean, that's what you do when you go on the road in the Big Ten West, is you sort of play like they do when you get out of there with a 2 or 4 point win. You know, they, Sean Clifford looks better than he ever has.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, and the weaknesses that we've seen relative to Ohio State, you have to like where you're at. I don't know if they're necessarily playoff caliber.
Well, here's my question. Speaking of playoff caliber, why isn't Oklahoma better?
Oh, I don't know yet.
Why isn't Spencer Rattler better?
I think because honestly, oh man, this is going to hurt. I don't know, this be a hot take. Okay, everybody knows that you throw like the greatest. This is going to be hard to say. So the greatest improvement happens first game the rest of the season, right? We know that. Week zero, Nebraska comes out. We saw the Illinois game. Everybody got them jokes in. We saw what Illinois has done since then. I'm not trying to do comparative analytics here. But also, in the meantime, Nebraska's defense has settled down and played effective football. The problem is the problem in Nebraska is just that they're playing they can't complement that because they've hung everything on Martinez. This is all to say that Oklahoma came out on Saturday, had the one big drive to open it, obviously scripted, and then after that, Nebraska did a really good job. They really did. Rattler, I think, is going to force himself into being the athlete probably more often than he needs to, so he's going to freelance probably when he doesn't need to, and he pushed himself into bad decisions on Saturday. So if he can calm down, they'll be better automatically. Man, that, I tell you what, that K-State game is kind of quietly looming. K-State is very K-State this year, probably the most they've been like that since Snyder left.
You calling for it? I mean, it sounds like you want to.
It's but look, how bold a take is it that K-State would
very
be
bold
in the regular season and Oklahoma would be fine for it? You know, that happens. That's what K-State does.
Look, man, you don't just stroll into Bill Snyder Family Stadium, okay?
You do. Hey, look, I did a Thursday night game there against Auburn a couple years ago. It does get loud. It is legit.
No, the reason you don't stroll there is because it's 2 hours from everything, so you have to take a bullet train to get there early enough to get to the game.
It is beautifully in the middle of nowhere. I mean, as someone who lived in Mississippi for 9 years of his life, like, Manhattan, Kansas is next to nothing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Steven, let's talk some coaching stuff. Like, you got your finger on the pulse of everything. You already mentioned you think Manny Diaz has elevated himself. Congratulations, Manny. You've moved up in the polls. It's the only poll he's moved up in. Who else in the country has had some movement from a coaching hot seat, like whispers perspective?
Ooh. Negative or positive?
Either way, I love positivity. We can go that way, too.
Okay, well, so you have to give, like, we dunked all over the ACC. That's a basketball reference. You have to give Fuente credit for beating a ranked team at home, and they did.
Does the West Virginia loss hurt them? Because
because that fourth quarter was just so
brutal.
Family friendly adjective here. Like, my word, I thought you were an offensive innovator. I thought that's why they hired you, to complement the Beamer ball philosophy and elevate Tech. And then, like, the fourth quarter was a reminder as to, like, in case you forgot the Baylor mess, this is why you hate Justin Fuente if you're a Tech fan. So he's okay for the time being, but they've got some serious must-win games coming up.
Yeah, we got them this week. Them Spiders coming into Blacksburg.
Well, I think they'll be okay. I mean, they can't fire Norvell because the buyout plus what they're paying Taggart is just it's insane. It's just not possible. Obviously, look, things are very calm in Michigan. I could make a Michigan joke, but in terms of the body of work on the field through three games – they're doing exactly what they need to. Combined with the fact that this is a weakened Ohio State, I'm not putting that out there. I'm not making that call. All right. But there's a couple kind of not as sexy jobs, but what's going on at Purdue? This was going to be the high-powered offense. Remember when Louisville was going to offer him $7 million a year? Like, what's the deal, guy? Like, are you just going to do – are you going to do the Big Ten West thing where you try and win games 12-9? Like,
yep.
Did everyone forget when they were going to be, like, the next hot thing?
They extended him thinking that, like, Rondale Moore was going to walk through that door every single year, and David Blau was going to take him to the promised land.
I think the biggest criticism of Purdue, and Minnesota, and those are two coaches with almost diametrically opposed personalities. And so more Big Ten West coaches tend to dislike PJ because he's a little bit more in your face. Yeah. But the criticism on the West side of that conference is you're not going to get that talent consistently at skill positions. There's a reason why Iowa and Wisconsin play the style, the dominant popular style of football that they do. So it's kind of hard to argue it right now. Syracuse is a mess. Dino Babers, dude. He got that check, and I'm proud of him. They had one 10-win season. He's never had a winning season before or after. They're a private school, so we don't have the you know contract information. Like, I don't know if Cuse can fire him this year, and I think they're just as anemic as they have been.
Well, didn't that social media person like leak that it was through 2024, 25?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so we know that. Yeah, we know he's locked in there through 24. I don't know what the money structure was like. If there's any kind of offset, if he got hired as a coordinator somewhere. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I'm still blown away by what's going on at Navy. I would not be shocked if Ken Niumatalolo just calls it a day based on the treatment that he's received from his own AD and that weird thing with Ivan Jasper, who's a really highly respected Broyles nominee. I think he won the Broyles one year. Wazoo, like, I still give Jeff Collins the benefit of the doubt in the transition period that they're in going away from the triple, right?
We can't.
Nick Rolovich is going from the air raid to basically the run and shoot, like the Hawaii offense. They are bad. They are worse than the allowable floor at a program like Wazoo. Now, based with all the COVID stuff, he said publicly too, he's just not doing himself any favors.
Yeah, that's an off the field soap opera out there. But yeah, spotting 45 unanswered for Southern Cal over the weekend was eye opening for sure.
What a weird game that was.
Godfrey, I can't let you go without just asking about USC. I mean, this is going to stay open till November, December, right? I mean, we're going to be talking about
definitely
for months.
They're going to take their time because they know that outside of like. And this is not me making a prediction. I'm just giving you a hypothetical. Like, Florida State can't open because of the money. You know, maybe like if LSU or something like that were to open, they're going to set the market. And they know that. They're also going to look at they're probably going to look longer and deeper in the NFL candidacy side of it than a lot of programs would just based on their connections. So they're going to take their time. This is me just giving you a bunch of examples as to why, like, you're going to hear a bunch of nonsense, especially through like Halloween, about so-and-so's a front runner. I'm telling you now, they're going to exhaust this search. And in the meantime, you know, I don't really think there's anything for that interim staff to do to win their way in because they've done the interim route so many times now.
Like, philosophically though, is Mike Bone, the athletic director, it's his hire to make. I mean, he's got to swing for the fences, right? Like, there's nobody that call.
I mean, so we said this on Split Zone, like, you're going to find out really fast if he's actually making that hire. Well, I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. If you see a USC-affiliated candidate that otherwise does not belong on the list whatsoever, like for years we've heard the jokes about Jack Del Rio or Jeff Fisher. If something like that starts to gain steam in legitimate circles in the press, you're going to know that he's either not completely in charge of this hire or there's significant outside influence, and that's a huge problem. If Heritage Hall gets involved, they're going to screw this up again. If he is free to make the hire, I would assume strongly that he gets his pick of national candidates and does make a good hire almost by default.
Split Zone Duo, Secret Base. I mean, you're all over the map, man. Appreciate the time, as always. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks, gentlemen.
There you go. Good stuff.
Thanks, man.
Awesome. So there you go. I mean, that's week three. And, you know, that's what I wanted to do when we opened the show was kind of bounce around college football. But instead we had to spend, you know, 25 minutes talking about Clemson and Georgia Tech and
a nationally relevant game.
Was it, though? I don't even think it was on TV. I couldn't find it.
It was on ABC. What are you talking about?
Not during the final plays. No,
yeah,
it was
during
not.
The final plays, it was on ESPN2 because there was a rain delay.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it's a nationally relevant game, don't you think that's like scrolling along the bottom line or something? Don't you think that the programming gurus in Bristol are letting us know?
It was in yellow on the thing. Like,
no, man, it wasn't. I'm telling you, bro,
ridiculous.
It wasn't.
Wild.
Nobody cares.
Ridiculous.
Like, literally, nobody cares.
On TV? 3 games on TV.
Speaking of TV, where are you at this week? You got a Thursday night or you got a Saturday?
Yep.
Where will you be? What games are we covering? Because that voice needs to heal up quick, bro.
We're in don't worry, it'll be fine. I'm in Bristol on Thursday for Marshall at App State Thursday night.
Oh my
night.
God, that's a big game.
Yeah, if Marshall hadn't, I was about to earn the E. Marshall hadn't messed it up last weekend against ECU, up 21 going in the fourth and then losing. Brutal. It'd have been a really good game. And honestly, App State could have beat Miami. That would have been fantastic. But we got that one. And then on Saturday, I already hinted, noon on the ACC Network, the Richmond Spiders stroll into Blacksburg, Virginia to play the Hokies.
Yeah. Here's the thing about that Virginia Tech game over the weekend. Yes, West Virginia jumped on them early, led 14-0, and you're like, oh, boy, Virginia Tech, it's tough to win games outside of Lane Stadium. These road trips aren't easy. And then they got it put on a platter down the stretch. Was it Deggy? It's like Doggy Coin, yep. Doji Coin. Deggy. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name.
It's Deggy.
He threw a pick, a bad one. And bad Virginia one. Tech's got it goal to go inside the five.
Can't do it.
And can't punch it in.
Can't do it.
And to Godfrey's point earlier, I mean, you are supposed to be an offensive guru, and he just and it just, they could have had 10 downs, and it didn't seem like they were going to get
in. Well, the fact that they, like, I hate roll out to the short side of the field, and I think they did it twice in a row, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of that ball game. And it's like, what are you doing? Call a better play. Jeez.
Find a new show.
Yeah, it's not good. Although I think if you're West Virginia, you should probably be a little concerned because you're up 27-7 in that ball game, and Virginia Tech comes back. At the end, the play calling, and that's what it's been at Virginia Tech for a while. That's why Virginia Tech fans are a little fired up.
All right, before Roddy, we bring in Rod Stradamus and take a very early peek at week four. Excuse me. Any other takeaways from this past Saturday?
Let me look at the entire landscape to see if there were any other takeaways.
Because you were in Durham for Duke Northwestern, which was the football equivalent of drinking NyQuil right out of the bottle before bed. You didn't get a chance to really take in some of these other games that were kicking off at night.
I didn't see Notre Dame Purdue.
Awful.
But
it's terrible.
Yeah, I heard it. Not a good game. I was asleep for Fresno and UCLA, so didn't catch that one.
By the way, dicey officiating in Purdue Notre Dame. Not exactly SEC level of officiating, like in Memphis, Mississippi State, or Penn State Auburn, but still dicey. Home cooking in South Bend.
North Carolina looked good against Virginia. They especially looked good on offense. Sam Howell, another 100-yard rushing game. Like, the dude's dual threat. I'm not joking anymore. The dude's a dual threat. He's playing as well as any quarterback in the country, other than Matt Corral. Matt Corral's probably playing better. But North Carolina sort of figured it out. Ty Chandler had a nice game against Virginia. Virginia's not terrible on defense. They're not great, but they're not terrible. And Josh Downs is an absolute star. So if you don't know who Josh Downs is, just go Google the catch he made in the corner of the end zone over the weekend.
Hey, real quick. Brennan Armstrong threw for 554 yards Saturday.
Yes, Virginia's an exciting team to watch. They sling it all over the place, and Brennan Armstrong is a good quarterback.
I mean, because Virginia's that team in the ACC. Like, I think folks in the conference always know, like, you know, you're playing a Bronco Mendenhall team. Like, you better buckle it up. But people sleep on them nationally. So, I mean, if they finally got a guy who can throw it around for those types of numbers, that's dangerous, man.
Yeah, this is not a typical Bronco Mendenhall team. Like, you look at his teams at BYU, and they threw the ball some, but I don't remember them airing it out like they are here. And usually they're better on defense. And the defense is just not going to hold up on a week-in, week-out basis. They're decent. And Joey Blunt got hurt. He's part of the heart and soul of that defense. And they are significantly worse when he is hurt. Unfortunately, he's been hurt a lot the past three seasons, and that entire secondary has been sort of decimated by injuries over the past three seasons. Go back to the couple years ago when they're really good against Miami. They won the Coastal, but Bryce Hall breaks his ankle in that game, and that was sort of the start of their defensive back woes. But Virginia's an exciting football team, so just take a look at them when you get a chance if they're on the telly. Like, they're a fun team.
Friday night, they host Wake Forest. If you like
offense. Yeah, that'll be a fun game. Yeah, that'll be a lot of scoring. That'll be a lot of scoring.
If you like offense, that might be the game for you in Charlottesville.
Yeah, check out maybe that one. That one might pop up in Rodstrom, just letting you guys know.
Oh, okay.
It may not. And then let's see who else. What else we got here? That was the big. Is Michigan State legit? Like Michigan State's a good football team, huh?
Dude, here's the thing about Michigan State.
They're good.
They're punching people in the mouth, which is what they used to do. I mean, they used to be really physical and just kind of.
And they have a really good back in Kenneth Walker.
Beat you up, yeah. Kenneth Walker ran for 172 yards on the U, which is the U is a safety away from App State from being 0-3. I mean, that is. Oh boy! I mean, it you know, like some point we're going to get to the floor of Miami football this year and Florida State football for that matter, who is now 0-3 after getting whooped up in Winston-Salem over the weekend. But yeah, I think you're right. Michigan State is legit. They're in the AP Top 25 this week. They make their debut at number 20. So
yeah, seems about right.
Mel Tucker, you're two.
Miami, by the way, Central Connecticut State University, and then they got UVA. And then they got North Carolina, and then they got NC State and Pitt. Like,
you want to talk about Pitt? Do we want to just brush that under the rug?
How
do you validate a nice road win at Tennessee by coming home and losing to?
By doing the most Pittsburgh thing possible.
Who did they lose to?
Western Michigan.
Western Michigan. My God, man.
And look, Caleb Ealy played his ass off. Like, he played great in that football game. But come on, Pitt. What are you doing? What are you doing? You had a Western Michigan team come in and throw for 357, put up 517 yards against a Pat Narduzzi defense. Like, the tackling was bad. And Pitt's always going to play man-to-man coverage, and they just destroyed them with RPOs. And to be honest, I'm going to let you guys peek inside the curtain a little bit. I had a 4 o'clock game. So I'm in a hotel that's got an excellent setup. We got TVs, so I've got like a little sitting area and an area where my bed is, and it's sort of an L-shaped room, and both of those sides have its own TV. Not only that, but both of those TVs are on what do you call them on the wall? TV stands, TV mounts. They're mounted TVs that swivel. So I bring both of them out, I swivel them, move the desk where I'm sitting right in between them. I got my computer set up. I got my iPad set up. I got a phone set up. So I got 5 screens. And to be honest, I don't really watch the phone that much. I just keep it. I keep the sound on so I can hear what's going on. So I'm watching 5 games, all right? Pitt, Western Michigan was like so far down, didn't make the 5 screens. Then I realized Western Michigan's winning the damn thing. And so I got to like devote one of my other screens to Western Michigan Pitt. Unfortunately, I'm in Durham, and it's on like Bally Sports. And so it's got to be one of the streaming. Like, it's just a whole thing that threw me off. But like, the fact that I had to watch Pitt and Western Michigan in real time, what are we doing here? And Kenny Pickett actually played well. 6 touchdowns. Kenny Pickett threw for 6 tutties.
You hate to see it, but again, I mean, this is the ACC in 2021, man. I mean, this is the life you've chosen.
Here's Kenny Pickett's line, okay? Let me give you both the quarterback's line. Caleb Ealy, 22 of 34, 337, and 3 tugs. No interceptions. Kenny Pickett, 23 of 31, 382, 6 tutties, 1 pick.
Loss.
Ale.
Yeah.
Ale.
Yeah, you hate to see it.
Both teams had a receiver go over 100 yards receiving. Ale for Pitt. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, should be fun on the ACC Network on SiriusXM Monday afternoon, man. Should be a lot of fun to talk about all this. I'm glad you get that therapy session. I really am. You want to do Rostradamus? Are we ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Roddy went 3-2.
Damn right he did.
He is,
damn right he did.
I don't want to say killing that he's it. Back, but he's certainly back in terms of the winning ways.
Whoa, Kentucky barely beat Tennessee Chat? What's up with that?
They were trailing at home in the fourth. Watch out for the mocks, man. I try to tell people, man, watch out for the mocks. They'll get you.
I won't watch out for the mocks. I won't do that.
Roddy in week 3 went Virginia Tech +3. That was never in doubt on the wrong side.
Never in
Memphis
doubt.
Memphis +3. Boy.
Never in doubt.
You and I were both on Memphis this week. I picked him for the That's My Dog play on Friday.
It's a good call.
Which, by the way, is now 3-0 money line. Ooh, underdogs.
Nice
3-0
job.
Money line. So check that out. Shout out to Felder, by the way. He gave us Michigan State. And Felder doesn't even gamble. He's like, Michigan State +6, they're going to win the game.
Yeah, so, Michigan State, I mean, that was one that popped up in my picks last week, too. Again, never in doubt. That just felt like one of those that was not going to go that way, you know? Like, they were at least going to make it a close game.
So you hit on Memphis, you hit on Michigan State, you missed with the Hokies, and you missed with the Terps on Friday night. Tough. In Champaign. So Maryland also got the win, but they did not cover the 8. Yes, you did hit with the aforementioned Georgia Tech, which we have hit our quota on. They were catching 28.5, and they almost won the game outright. So coming off a 3-2 week, you are 10-8 for the season, Roddy. Not bad. Not bad.
Thank you. Thank you.
So where appreciate are we going that. For week 4?
All right, here's where we're going. So Kentucky came off a brutal, game, apparently. I didn't really look at what was going on, but it's on the pick, so I'm going to make the pick. Kentucky came off a bad game a week ago, okay? Right? Bad game a week ago.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
I did not know that before I did this. Kentucky's going to South Carolina. They are a 5.5-point favorite. I'm taking Kentucky.
You know
Kentucky
that,
minus 5.5.
South Carolina did cover between the hedges. They lost with honor.
Yeah, well, wasn't the over? Oh, I mean, wasn't the line like 800?
The line was the line was 32. They lost by 27.
What exactly is honorable about having your brains all over the field?
Right. When you get that little check mark in the ATS column, that's honor. Okay. That's what that is.
It's not honor. It's not honor at all. Here's the second one. I'll give you a double dose of SEC. Mizzou minus 2.5 at Boston College.
Boston College is one of the lone unbeatens in the ACC, bro, Roddy Jones.
Okay, hold on. Because I don't have the stats right in front of me. But Boston College played Temple a week ago. Okay, right? They played Temple a week ago. Boston College is one of those teams that I thought was overhyped coming into the season. And now they got Dennis Grossell at quarterback. You know what Dennis Grossell's line was last week against
Temple? No, please tell me. Please tell me.
5 for 13 for 34 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception.
That sounds bad.
The leading rusher for Boston College, Pat Garwo, 16 carries for 49 yards. Boston College as a whole against Temple, 221 total yards of offense. You think that's going to improve against Missouri? GTFOH, Kimmy Missouri, -2.5. And honestly, I'm kind of feeling the under 59 in that one, too.
Hang on a second.
God, that's Eli Drinkwitz music.
First of all, I do need to make a slight. I mean, this stuff matters. The line is not 2.5, sir. It is 3.
Oh my God!
I'm looking at the line. I'm looking at the line. It's 3. Do you want Missouri? Because the line is 3. It's
yeah,
not 2.5.
Give me Missouri.
Okay, we're not here to just make up lines. We can't just invent stuff out of thin air. Okay?
See, we need to get on the same page about where you're going for your lines. Because where I'm looking right now, VegasInsider.com has got the line at 2.5 current.
No, I'm on Vegas Insider, and I'm looking at the scores for week 4, and the line is 3, and these are composite lines.
Okay, okay,
so
you're on the other page. All right,
that little
so you know what? I'm gonna go
with
to
the arrow. That
I'm gonna
means
go to
refresh,
the,
bro.
I'm gonna go to the other page. I'm gonna go to the other one. All right, the other Vegas Insider. Okay, now I'm here. I'm looking.
Listen,
all right, that place.
I'm
line's
rooting
three.
For you, Roddy. I want Rostradamus to go 5-0 every week, but I'm telling
line's
you,
three.
The line, sir, is 3.
You're right. I'm seeing it, although FanDuel has it at 2.5.
We don't do FanDuel. That's not legal in every state, so we don't do FanDuel.
That's fine. All right, are we moving on?
Yeah, I got a 2-pack right now.
All right, I'm going to give you a 3-pack of SEC ball, okay?
Oh, man, this is not your strength, but come on.
Tennessee plus 20 in the swamp.
Oh, Roddy. Why? Tell me
because
why.
Because Florida's going to have a letdown. Lose an emotional game against Alabama. It's the psychology of college football. I got nothing other than that. But when you guys win, just come back and give me a hug and thank me.
When you guys win, these are entertainment purposes only here, man.
Yeah, I mean, entertainment purposes only.
When Florida wins by 21 and you catch that L, I'm going to feel bad for you. I am.
It's fine. I'm 10-8 on the season, baby.
Because you don't need to pick this game. You got Kansas Duke sitting out there. You've got some really good looking games, man.
What's the line on Kansas Duke? I don't know. I don't want any part of Kansas Duke.
I'll be honest. The line in Kansas Duke is absurd because Duke shouldn't be favored by this much against anybody.
Stay away. Stay away from that one.
Duke's favored by more than 2 touchdowns against Kansas.
It's 15.5. No, and I wouldn't. I don't know enough about Kansas.
You don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Nope. No, I do not want to touch that. Do you? Are you going to touch that?
Nah.
Yeah, I don't think so. All right. Let me go to my next one. Hold on. Let me see. Let me check the current line. All right, got it. Oh, damn, it's a little rich for my blood. So, no, let's do it. Florida State Louisville over 62.5.
Okay. Is this a 3:30 game? Is this a 3:30 game in Tallahassee?
I'm in Tallahassee. Here's my question. Yep.
Like, what concerns you more? Is it Florida State's inability to get stops defensively, or is it the fact that this offense still hasn't figured it out?
Okay, so the thing that concerns me the most is it feels like at the quarterback position, they're piecing it together as they go. And Jordan Travis got hurt at the end of last game, so that is a little bit concerning. But the fact that they literally alternated series for like the first four or five series, a little alarming. Secondly, on defense, they're not good. And they look good against Notre Dame. They fooled us into thinking that they could cover. Louisville's going to hit some big plays against them because they're undisciplined and they can't cover deep. And that's like the recipe for disaster against Louisville. I also think Florida State's going to be able to score some points because they can run the football. And Mike Norvell does a good job of manufacturing runs. And I believe Jordan Travis had a big game against Louisville a year ago, if I'm not mistaken. So I like the over in this one. I think this one ends up being like a 30, probably like a 42-30 ball game, like a 42-31 ball game, which gets me to the over.
Okay. I mean, Florida State, I mean, how can anybody in their right mind trust this team to do anything?
Well, either that or Louisville's going to score 60. Like, that's one of the...
How big of a game was that, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, for Scott Satterfield? You're looking at the difference between being 2-1 and 1-2 was a Dylan Gabriel pick six at home on a Friday night.
Yeah, after a Malik Cunningham pick. How big was it for Scott Satterfield? It's pretty big. I don't think it makes the fan base feel better about him. I don't.
You don't think 2-1 going into Florida State and being favored, 3-1?
No. Like going into that game, like, I don't think he got a positive bump by winning it. I think he would have gotten a negative bump by losing it. So
got it. So he's still in the hole. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. They still haven't looked great. I mean, they didn't look good against UCF. They looked good enough. I don't think UCF played very well, and Isaiah Bowser didn't play half the game.
Right.
Or three quarters of the game. So I don't know. UCF's got some issues, too. I thought that defense would be better, but they are not. Let's see. Oh, Wake Forest UVA, over 67. No. That's the second to last one. Wake Forest UVA, over the 67. Go ahead and type it in the doc.
That's a Friday night game, by the way, folks. So don't look for that on a Saturday because it's gone. It's already off the board. I like that pick.
Come up Forest.
I might go to that game, man. Server, you want to drive up to Charlottesville? You ever been? It's gorgeous up there.
Yeah, Charlottesville's rad. That's a cool town.
You want to go?
Can you guys do your work in Charlottesville?
What do you mean, do our work?
Yeah, here's the only thing. While I would like to go,
you have to be studio, Serbs?
I'm not sure about getting back to Winston-Salem at like 3 a.m. Saturday morning and then working 12 hours on Saturday.
That'd be tough.
Yeah, it's a problem.
All right, here's my last
Thursday,
one, guys.
I'm in.
Yeah, that's fair.
You want to go? We can go to Boone Thursday night. You want to go to Boone?
Yeah, Boone. We'll get you guys on TV.
That's an hour back. That's not bad.
Let me know where you're sitting, and we'll get you guys on TV.
All right.
Roddy, you don't call the shots on where the camera's going, bro. You're seriously?
Bro,
come on, man.
About? Come on.
You're sitting in a room looking at a big old screen, man.
And you think I don't call the shots on where the cameras go?
Are you talking to the truck? No, the truck's talking to you.
Absolutely.
No. All right.
Bro,
okay.
You've never. Okay. You come to one of my games, sit in the truck, and you tell me. All right. You tell me.
I'm waiting. Listen, I'm waiting for the invite. I mean, I know we couldn't make it happen last year because of COVID, but,
we're at Wake 'em Up Forest. We'll have you there. We'll let you do it.
All right.
Last one. Iowa State's going to Baylor. And for some reason, this is a 6.5-point line. Iowa State, -6.5.
I thought you were going to take Baylor, and I was going to just pull up their schedule and tell you that they have played no one with a
pass. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. So I think that one's a little. I think that one's a little off. So take Iowa State -6.5. So to recap, kids, we got the on Friday Wake Forest UVA over 67, Kentucky -5.5, and that's against who's that against? I forgot already. Kentucky's playing South Carolina. No, is that right?
Yeah,
that's right. Kentucky's playing South Carolina -5.5. Mizzou at Boston College -3. Tennessee going down to the swamp +20. Love me a big line. I hate it with Georgia Tech last week. I was looking for another one. Found it. Louisville, Florida State, over 62.5. Iowa State, minus 6.5 at Baylor.
Yeah, there was
not
a
feeling great about that Louisville Florida
There was State. A Big 12 game that caught my eye, and it wasn't Iowa
was
State Baylor.
What was it?
Oklahoma State hosting Kansas State.
You know, I thought about that one. What part of that caught your eye?
Oklahoma State is favored by 6. I like Kansas State.
I don't know. I can see an Oklahoma State win by a touchdown. Like, that's a tie ball game. Oklahoma State scores. I don't know.
Here's the thing. And I don't want to pick on the guy. I don't want to pick on the guy, but I'm going to pick on the guy. I do not trust Spencer Sanders. I just can't do it. The fact that they won that game at Boise over the weekend stunned me. Now, it was 21-20 at halftime. Neither team scored in the second half. There's no score, no points. A couple missed field goals.
By the way, over under in that game, in the Kansas State Oklahoma State game, 45.
It's 45. That is absurdly low for a college football game. That's why I like Kansas State. That's their kind of game.
I don't know. I feel like the past few seasons, that's Oklahoma State's kind of game.
Here's
the defense
thing.
And running the football.
Big 12, and I'm saying this because of what I've seen from Oklahoma or what I haven't seen from Oklahoma the first 3 weeks. I get the impression that the Big 12 could be wide open. Like, now that we're in conference play, now that these guys are going to start, you know, taking everybody on, because remember, the Big 12, there's only 10 teams, you play everybody. I think this thing could be wide open this year.
How many contenders do you think there are in the Big
12? 4.
Okay. Oklahoma State being one?
No.
So you're going Iowa State?
Oh, honey, no.
Oklahoma?
No. Yeah, I got Oklahoma, I got Iowa State. I mean, Texas in the league.
Oh, you threw in Texas. Oh.
In the league? Yeah, I'll throw Texas in there.
Okay. Who else?
And then, like, honestly, man, like, I'm
Kansas State?
No. TCU, bro. TCU.
Nobody's
talking about TCU.
Nobody. You are correct. Nobody is. I haven't thought about TCU since I said I liked them coming
in. Why would you?
Season.
I mean, why would you? I mean, they are the forgotten program in that league.
Did they play last week?
No, they were on a bye, I believe.
Okay, that's why. That's another reason.
Why
do you have a bye week?
Let me get in on TCU now.
Yeah, you know, I might have to get in on TCU.
No, you can't get in on TCU. The wagon's full, buddy. You just keep moving. Sit somewhere else.
Before the season, I said TCU. I liked TCU.
Can't sit here. Seats taken.
But the thing, like, they barely beat Cal. How good is Cal?
That was my Forrest Gump reference. Did anybody get that?
Yeah, but sorry,
yeah,
I was on this.
It's the bus scene. We get it. It's pretty good. You sound like a little
can't
girl.
Can't sit here. That was bad. That was bad. Bad impression.
You can sit here if you want.
Yeah, there you go.
How good is Cal?
Because
you're saying that TCU is a contender in the Big 12.
Yes.
With a 45-3 win over Duke and Esky, and a 34. Oh, sorry. Should have known that since they beat the Ohio team I saw last week.
Yeah, the last three letters
Duke
of the Kineski. School name are silent. It's just
it's a
Duquesne.
Polish school.
Yes. Like to buy a vowel, please.
And then a 2-point win over Cal. So, like, I mean,
Cheez-It Bowl rematch against Cal, by the way.
If you're buying TCU as a contender, I don't know, man. Like, they play SMU this weekend. I think that'll be let me reserve judgment on TCU until after this weekend.
That's a big game. TCU SMU, big game.
Does that game have a trophy?
A bunch of Texas millionaires battling it out. Where's that game? In Fort Worth?
It's the most elite religious school game in the state of Texas.
Dude, everybody who goes to TCU has got mega money. Same with
Bro,
SMU.
Have you been to SMU? You stumble off that campus the wrong way, and you're going to, like, be hit in the face with a mansion. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Southern Millionaires University, man. SMU.
Boom.
The Ponies. Yeah, they won by a Hail Mary over the weekend. You
sure
see that?
Sure did. A hell of a Hail Mary. How cool was that? I love those games, man. SMU, though, not great this year.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's I'm just telling you. Look, you heard it here on September 21st.
TCU.
I got TCU on my radar. They are a contender in the Big 12. Okay. And I will find a guest out there who agrees with my logic, and I will bring them on this program.
So we got started on this because you said the Big 12 was wide open. And I do agree. I am a little unsure of how many contenders there are in that league, though. Like, it's wide open for three teams, I feel like.
I feel that way because I have...
And I'm not sure Texas is one of them.
I've been incredibly disappointed with Oklahoma. I mean, just no, they don't look that good to me.
No, you are absolutely, and you are validated in your feelings. The question is, who else can win the league though? And I don't think the list is that long.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I gave you almost half the league. So, I mean, that's probably not going to pan out. But if you're asking me to take a shot, I'm going to shoot my shot with TCU, man. Horned Frogs. What's the hand signal they do? Like with the little knuckles? You're supposed to be like a frog? That's what I'm doing right now. You can't see me, but that's what I'm doing. I'm putting up the little nucks, man.
All right. Let's
go.
Everybody in the Big 12 has played three games with the exception of TCU. They've played two. Kansas is the lowest scoring offense in the Big 12. Do you know who the second lowest scoring offense in the Big 12 is in terms of points they've scored?
I'm going to guess it's the Horned Frogs.
It is not. It's Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
They played three games and TCU's played two and they scored less points.
I can't, like, Spencer Sanders is a turnover machine. He is a turnover factory that makes turnover machines.
They haven't topped 23 this year. That's tough.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done in the Big 12, man. It's just not. Right. So, anyway. Roddy, you said Thursday night, Marshall, App State.
Yep.
It's a shame you won't be there in person, man. They redid the stadium, man. They took the track up. So, I mean, they redid it. Looks good.
Yeah. Would love to get out on the road for these, but both my partner's schedule on Friday and my schedule on Friday make that very difficult. So we do it from Bristol.
Kind of like the over in that game too, man. 57 seems a little low.
Yeah. Marshall is statistically the second best offense in the country this year. Behind only Ole Miss in terms of yards per game.
Bad loss to ECU, man.
Bad loss. Terrible. You can't lose that game.
Nah, you can't. Even though I do love me some Mike Houston because, you know, he's a JMU guy and, you know, so am I. Barely. I got out of there. You know, I mean, they barely let me go with that GPA, but they did hand me a degree on the way out. So, yeah, shout out to ECU, man. Way to get that dub after getting your heart broken by South Carolina the week prior. They go to Huntington and win on the road. So, Roddy will be on Marshall and App State Thursday night. And then Saturday, the Spiders.
Richmond and Virginia Tech.
Who, speaking of my college years, those assholes waitlisted me in Richmond. Never got in. Didn't need to. Ended up going to the University of Virginia instead. JMU. Let's go.
I'm telling you, it is the university in terms of they
get more applications. You probably don't know this because you don't keep up with the Commonwealth. JMU has a higher rejection rate than the University of Georgia. They get more applicants. It's a fact.
Than the University of Virginia, you mean?
That's a fact. Yes.
Yeah, correct. Because nobody thinks they're going to get into Virginia, right?
So it's kind of known amongst, you know, those in the know.
But like the University of Virginia.
It actually is the University of Virginia, man. Them fighting Dukes. Duke Dogs. Right,
but the University of Virginia is in Charlottesville.
Hello.
Just making sure we're clear. Right?
Richmond at Virginia Tech. And I'm going to tell you something, Virginia Tech. You've lost these games before. You have had humiliating losses to Old Dominion, James Madison University. I mean, this has happened before. So, hey, Hokies, Liberty last year or 2 years ago, was it? No, it was last year.
No, Liberty's a good football team.
Like, I'm just saying, Roddy.
But they did almost lose to Furman a few years ago in a game that we did.
Fighting Paladins, man.
Where Furman kicked an onside kick and recovered it, but then got called for like some sort of stupid obstruction call that was the wrong call because the guy who obstructed was actually running for the football or running away or something, and he ran to another dude. It was a bad call. But the Spiders, tough loss last weekend, by the way. Oh, lost to number 9 Villanova.
Wow, look at you having to dig into the FCS top 25 for game prep this week. I know that humbles you. I know it does, but that's okay.
Stop it. I did Kennesaw State's games in the fall. I mean, in the spring. It's not humbling. It's
Owls,
an honor.
Owls, baby. Owls football.
Positioning myself for some FCS playoff, man.
I mean, you're an honorary owl. I mean, you're practically an owl. You're part of the family.
That's true.
Shout out to my dad, by the way, who actually works at Kennesaw State.
Does he really? Wow, yeah. I didn't know that. He runs
facilities over there. He's probably listening to the show right now while he's fixing something. So
he told me.
Which is amazing because I can't install. I mean, I can't fix anything. I can barely do like light bulbs. I mean, I am useless up there. Could you install a ceiling fan, Roddy, if you had to, if your life depended on it?
I've done it before.
You have?
Yeah, done it before. Like in high school,
you've like run electricity and stuff.
No, I have. Well, okay. What are we like installing it or replacing it?
That's like there difference. Is a hole in the ceiling where a ceiling fan needs to go.
Right. Is there electricity running to that hole?
Yeah. Okay. So there's wires that are already there, but you've got to hook
it
up.
Yeah. Yeah. I can do it. I can do that.
What about you?
I could not do the electricity part.
I couldn't do the electricity part. No way.
But you could install a fan.
Yeah, I feel good about that.
Something hard. I've mounted a wall a couple of times.
Good for you, man. Not me.
Handyman.
I'm worried. I'd be worried. I mean, I'd probably have to make sure the will was ready to go.
I mean, frankly, the electricity part, how hard is that, though? Is it not
probably
just like
very difficult?
It might not be, though. I've never
running
done.
Wires through
well,
the
wires
running
are already wires. Run, are they not? Are
well,
you replacing
no. If you
fan,
have to
are
run
you
the
installing
wires,
a new one.
Correct. Like if there is a room in a new construction that does not yet have a wire run to the place where the ceiling fan needs to go, very difficult. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But if everything's still like if it was a light and you want to change it to a ceiling fan, yeah, we can do that. We can even replace a little thing on the wall too. Get you a couple flippers.
Flippers, huh? Okay. Yeah, I feel great. My electrician is referring to the things on the wall as flippers.
Yo, I just did a dimmer. Man. I did a dimmer not too long ago. Took that sucker out, put the sucker in, like boom.
Boom.
Got it done.
We're back
on. I'm the ones who got it done.
How do you feel now that you know your electrician is not an electrician? Tell me that one, huh?
Wayne Cook is back with us on Wednesday, by the way. Phil
You've
Steele will
him
be
off
here.
So much today.
He'll run through every game great. In the top 25. And Mike Golick back on Thursday for a little three and out. Felder Friday, as always, here on CSN. You guys have been a handful today. I'm not going
to
lie.
How's Wayne doing? Have you talked to him?
I mean, Wayne is usually the guy who hijacks our shows, but
yep. Love you, Wayne.
Talking to him on Wednesday is going to be a dream compared to this. I mean, you guys, if we were in school, both of y'all would be getting detention. Both of you, for your actions and your behavior on this fine program. I mean, just,
providing excellent quality content.
Just absolutely lawless.
Server, is it time to put Tyson Pumich on it?
Yeah, it might be. Do you want to talk about Justin Ross now? We didn't really talk about him earlier.
Yes, let's talk about Justin Ross. The hell is going on with Justin Ross? Where is he?
What are you doing, man?
Where is he? Why is Joe Ngata your leading receiver right now?
Oh, my God.
I'm about to go bar none on my headset again. I will take it off and I will slam it on the table.
Okay? In the show.
Oh, all right. See you guys.